everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the Cynical Challenge podcast. My name is Grayson Knutson, coming to you from Edmonton, Alberta. Pleased to be joined, as always, by my co-host. We start in St. Albert with Mr. Jeff Paulus. JP, how are we doing today?
I'm cold.
Yeah.
Frigid. This is ridiculous, yeah, but still supporting the club. So you'll see this on every show, I imagine, but still there for Scottish United. So there we are.
Perfect. Sally, is it as cold in Saskatchewan as it is here in Edmonton?
It might even be colder. I think it's going down to like minus 42 or something tonight. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. Wasn't that movie filmed in Saskatchewan? In Saskatoon, the one where what was it called? The Day After Tomorrow?
The Day After Tomorrow, yeah. It's where that was window in the space opens up. I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, they just used Saskatoon to pose as New York.
Yeah, and brought in about 50,000 buildings.
That's right. Yeah, but you can find those extras anywhere. I mean, they have extra buildings all over the place, especially in St. Albert, the ghost town.
Yeah, ghost town, Saskatoon.
If we know one thing about Saskatoon, it looks a lot like New York City for sure. Sally, why don't you start off with a little bit of national team news here. A big announcement made by Canada national team here today. We're recording on Friday.
Yeah, for sure. Canada Soccer announced a little earlier today that Ricardo Ferreira, who had shown for the Portuguese youth teams and I think maybe a single cap with their full national team, has signed on with Can men's national team. So that's big because it's another center back for an area that we badly, badly need more players, more competitiveness. So he's not signed on to a club right now. I had that confirmed by about 18 other Voyageurs that he's currently unsigned. So he's part of
Unattached FC making a comeback.
Thank you. Yeah, Unattached FC is making a comeback with Ricardo Ferreira. But I mean, a guy with his experience and playing time in the Portuguese leagues, he'll get signed maybe somewhere in Europe, or who knows, maybe this is like a precursor to a move to MLS or something. So
yeah, interesting move. Obviously never hurts to have another center back, 28 years old. So he's not super young, but he's not exactly old either. Health is his big issue. He's dealt with a multitude of injuries, and staying fit seems to be a bit of a problem. So hopefully he can do that, because it's going to be a busy year for the men's national team. JP, your thoughts on another guy switching sides and committing to Canada?
I think it just shows the strength of a program right now. You know, this looks like it is the golden generation for Canadian soccer at the moment, with players coming through the system. A lot of players, you know, who have options to play other places, have chosen to come to this country for various reasons. But I think it speaks well of what's happening with our national program and the steps we've taken forward. So, yeah, kudos to the staff, you know, for making all this happen, and to John.
Yeah, man, I think Julian de Guzman just spat out whatever he was drinking when you just said now is the golden generation.
Yeah, sorry, Julian. You know, there you go. But yeah, records are meant to be broken, and we're all meant to move on.
There you go. Yeah, it's good too. The schedule for the Olympic qualifiers came out too. That's going to be held next month for the U23s. And the women are going to play a friendly against England in April as well, as they gear up for their Olympic qualifying as well. So plenty of national team chatter coming up, I'm sure, on this podcast later on. But we'll get back to what we know best, and that's the Canadian Premier League. And we didn't get a chance to talk last week about some of the movement, some of the signings, and there have been some big ones. We'll start off with Dominic Zator leaving Cavalry. He goes and signs with York before subsequently being loaned to a Swedish second division side until June, when they break for Euros. He'll be able to come back and play for York. JP, start with you. This is a big move for York United, obviously, to solidify that back line.
Yeah, great move. For your great move. I mean, you know, we've talked on here, we've been impressed with some of the, you know, some of their additions, their youth movement, a lot of attacking players they brought in, but we've talked about defending for them. And where was that going to come from when you look at the signings and seeing so many offensive players? So now you see a back line that potentially is Absey, Roger Thompson, Dominic Zator, and Christian Ensa. And that is as strong a back line as you'll find in this league. And, you know, I do want to, it's amazing the short-term memory you have, because I think the Canadian Premier League has sent out a story. Is this the, you know, is this the biggest interleague transfer in its history? Well, first of all, the history is one season and 1 month in PEI, but they also forgot about the Bustos transfer. And, mm-hmm. and I'll still hold that as the, you know, most important, biggest transfer in this inter transfer in this league's short history. But yeah, listen, massive. I mean, he, because we know his work rate, his energy levels, he loves to get forward, you know, very good defender. And it just, for me, it shows a bit of, it shows, I guess it's some real intent. Is the word I'm looking for. It shows some real intent by that group at York, you know, the coaching staff and Angus McNabb. So nice get.
Hey, so are you saying that the return of Handsome Bowtie isn't the biggest story in CPL history to date or what?
No, interleague transfer. He was an interleague transfer. So yeah, I don't have to cross that bridge right now.
Yeah. I hope that Zator actually does show for York, and that it doesn't turn into the situation that one Dwayne Rollins has suggested, where he's simply using this as an insurance policy for a move over to Europe. I mean, it'd be great, honestly, if Zator does find that move to Europe. That'd be a massive step for his career. But at the same time, you know, you kind of hope that that the CPL at this point isn't just seen as a pure stepping stone. You know, for a guy like him anyway, we'd love to see what York would be able to accomplish with him as one of their starting center backs. Cause it would really drastically change the capabilities of that team. And on top of that, I really hope to see that Abzi is moved further up the pitch as well. Cause I just don't see him as an actual fullback. He's a winger in my opinion, but that's a topic for another day, I'm sure.
When we get into the team previews, I'm sure we can address that. Cavalry, though, obviously had their back line gutted, but they've done really well to fill those spots. That Dutch center back, Don Klomp, was signed last week. And then this week they've got another center back, Karifa Yao, coming in from Montreal of MLS on a loan. He made two appearances last year in MLS, and he was on the U23 provisional roster, so maybe we'll see him next month. But this helps Cavalry address their back line, and it also helps to address their U21 minutes, JP. So a nice bit of work here, I think, from Tommy.
Yeah, really, really well done by Tommy. He's actually changed the makeup of their team with these two additions for me. They had a very set way of playing, I thought, the last, you know, two seasons, or season and tournament. Pretty set way of playing. And you know, you look at the defenders that have left the group with Jay and with Dom, they really fit their style of play. They really, you know, Dom is a very direct player at the end of the day. You know, when you look at what he brings to the table, these two players they've brought in, they're technical. They want to play and build that at the back. They still, you know, especially the loan from Montreal, still will be a bit of a presence there. Will provide the same type of defending and physicality that Dom did. But these are ball playing center halves, and so I think this allows Tommy to do a couple of different things, playing out of the back now with especially with the Dutch player. So with Klomp, so people are going to like saying his name, by the way.
Yeah, I was saying. So what you're saying is we're actually going to see Cavalry maybe play from the back this year.
I think you'll see them, yeah, play a bit more out of the back this year, because that fits. You know, you don't bring in. I don't think you bring in center halves like that if you want to play direct, because you'll take them out of some of their strengths that the videos seem to highlight that they have. And just quickly, can I just address, I thought it was an interesting comment by Dwayne Rollins, you know, to suggest that. And number, my first comment really is number one, so what if it is? I mean, at the end of the day, if our Canadians want to play in the CPL and move to Europe and have a chance to play in Europe, but they sign a contract here with a club that, you know, was willing to let them go on loan to try that. What if it did happen? I don't think it did for a second. I don't think any manager or any director in this league signs a player not to play them on their roster. That doesn't happen. So I think that comment is just offside. But if there was some truth to it, okay. So a young player came in. I mean, I encouraged Amir Didic to go to the Whitecaps and stay there for as long as possible before I signed him to a CPL contract at the expense of starting preseason without him, because I wanted this kid to have a chance to go to the MLS. And at the end of the day, that's still what our league is. It's still what the CPL is all about. You know, it's about developing Canadian players. And if we're going to keep growing the national team programs, our players need to get developed in this league when they're younger, and then they need to move to higher leagues for further development. So if that did happen, I've got no issue with it, although I don't think it did.
Yeah, it is a second division Swedish side. They just got promoted from the third tier, Vasalands, IF is the name of the club that Tator is at now. Jeff, why don't you talk a little bit about another signing for York? And again, interleague move here as Noah Verhaven goes from Pacific to York United. More midfielders for York and the Nine Stripes.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting. I mean, it's probably a great move for him, considering the level of play that he's going to be training with now at York. I mean, besides him, I'm trying to think of what other Canadians they currently have in their midfield. So he's going to be training almost with a purely international midfield at this point, which is fantastic. And yeah, I mean, if he can get starting minutes battling with those players, awesome. That will really prove his performance and his growth in the league. So yeah, I think it's a great move for him. And I think he's probably going to be missed at Pacific. I'm curious to see who Ka is ultimately going to replace him with on their squad.
Yeah, interesting move for sure. More moves for Valor. Kevin Alleman goes from FC Edmonton to Valor. And then he was loaned out to a club, Guadalupe FC in Costa Rica, the first division there. JP, you obviously had Kevin on your team. You really like this move for Gailey, don't you?
I love this move for Gailey. I absolutely love this move for Gailey. And you know what, a lot of people, it was interesting because I made a comment on Twitter, you know, that this, when they talked about interleague transfers, and I said, well, you know, save this tweet that next year you'll be talking about Kevin in the same way that you've just talked about Sator. And then someone reacted to that too. And to the person that reacted to me, if you want me to reply to you, then use your real name. And I will happily respond to you, but I don't reply to aliases. So, but yeah, listen, I mean, I got to work with Kevin, privileged to do so. This kid is a competitor. He wants to win, no matter if it's a 1v1 exercise, a 3v3, a 4v4, he wants to win it. And he's upset with if he doesn't. And he has that real warrior's heart, I'll tell you. And, you know, what a lot of people won't realize about Kevin is that he showed up when he came into Edmonton, he had to quarantine for 14 days. He came from a situation in Costa Rica where they were shut down and not playing games. So he had no training prior to getting on a flight to come to our city. Shows up here 14 days, hold up with no real gym or gym access or anything like that. And he gets less than 2 weeks of training before we get on a flight to go to PEI. And he still played significant minutes, fought through it. You know, and what you're going to see now in 2021 is a fit Kevin Alleman coming off alone in Costa Rica. So another really a stroke of genius on Gailey to get this player loaned out, you know, for that preseason work. He'll come in fit, but his technical level is extremely, extremely high. He's an attacking player. And honestly, you know, I think this is a massive loss for my old club, you know, because they need a 10. They need a real 10. They had one at the club in Kevin Alleman, and now he's playing for another jersey. So that one will sting a bit if he lives up to the potential that I think he will.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see a full season of Kevin Alleman, especially, like you said, coming off a loan in Costa Rica where he's playing. I think he was on the bench just the other day too already for that new club. And the loan is only until May, so he should be able to come in right away when the season starts. Sally, I know you love Forge. You had a bit of a thing on Twitter this week. They're bringing back a lot of the core. Becker, Dom Samuel, Tristan Henry, Kwame Awua, and today they announced Ashinode Johnson and Element Cisse coming back as well. So nothing new from Forge, but important to keep that core together, isn't it?
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, you know, Forge has been the class of the league. Besides what Calvary did in the first season, really everybody is, the bar has been set for everyone by what Forge has accomplished. So, yeah, I think it's huge. Bring back Elamani Cisse. I think he's a very underrated player. When he's on the pitch for Forge, they're just that much stronger of a unit. He's a great compliment for Kyle Becker as well. So, yeah, and Akinode Johnson is a great squad player. He's been consistent for them when he's been out on the field as well. So what more can you really say about Forge? I think, you know, until the first ball's kicked in the season, they're always going to be your first or second pick for challenging for the title again. So, until the season actually kicks off, you always have to assume that they're going to be probably challenging for the title.
Yeah, I really like Ashinode Jonsson with Forge. I rate him pretty highly. The Norwegian to me hates to root for a Swede, but he's just a good player. So what can you do? Signing today for FC Edmonton, Darlington Marasaranwa, a goalkeeper, 19 years old, former academy kid, played with the Whitecaps Academy as well, and just spent time in the OUA with Guelph. Coming back home, well, sort of home for him. But JP, you know Darlington a little bit. Maybe talk about this signing.
I love this signing. Yeah, this is almost like another proud dad moment for me because I don't have my own kids. So I've got to live through everyone else's kids to find these moments of happiness. He came into the FC Edmonton Academy many years ago as a young keeper, but with boatloads of potential. You know, we got obviously then national team look and stuck with the national team, U15. And he was a product of Victoria Soccer Club before coming to us. And I gave the Whitecaps a call. We had a chat about him, and it was decided that it was in his best interest to go to the Whitecaps residency. And he went there and did very, very well there. And, you know, it's amazing. In one of my first, I think it was the very first away trip, it might have been, leaving Edmonton. I think we're going to Winnipeg. I think that was the game. But anyhow, we're at the airport in Edmonton. We're getting ready for an away game, getting ready to fly out. And Darlington walked by and stopped and had a chat. And, you know, and we just talked about that time that I had sent him, you know, to the Whitecaps. And then he was kind of talking about, he was on his way to Guelph, you know, to start university, and just really, he was so respectful and just thankful, you know, for some of those opportunities, not that I gave him, you know, that he actually gave himself. And that's the other thing. He gave it to himself with who he is. And then, so he's come back into Edmonton. We were able to get him into the academy and train with us, but we had him train with the first team all the time as we prepared for PEI. And what I can tell you about this player is there's yet to be a shot stopper with his ability to come through this city in a long, long time. And yeah, he's special with that. So I am delighted that Alan saw enough in him to sign him. Right now, it looks like he's being signed as the number two, you know, when you look at who's on the roster. So I'm delighted for him. He's an absolutely fantastic kid. It's a very nice moment, you know, for Darlington. He's earned it. And I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, CJ with the number one gloves right now, Connor James. But again, if Darlington plays, then he'll obviously fail some of those U21 minutes, the 1500 that everyone requires in the league. Which brings up an interesting maybe segue here. There's the international rule. U23 internationals, it's believed that each team has to sign four. It's an interesting thought. Obviously, you want to build a league for Canadians by Canadians, and yet you're saying, hey, let's go sign four international players that are under the age of 23. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What do you guys make of it? Sally, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Might be hearing my daughter in the background right now, but yeah, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword in the sense that bringing these players in will undoubtedly raise the overall level of the league. I mean, you're bringing players in who have genuinely had to fight tooth and nail to get to where they are at this point. Much, much more competitive environments they've likely had to come through. And then on the other side of that sword, obviously, is the minutes they're taking away from younger Canadians too. So a little bit of give and take. You know, I guess at the end of the day, if it raises the overall level of the league and allows the younger Canadian players who have made the league to raise their abilities and develop into better footballers because of it, then it's difficult to argue heavily against it. And I guess if you look at things on the financial side as well, with 21st Club, you would have to assume that the CPL likely has a financial obligation in this relationship with them. So they maybe, and I mean, this is pure speculation, obviously, maybe they have a contract where they have to sign, you know, X number of 21st players every year in order to have access to 21st players centralized scouting. So, and, you know, so there's probably a lot of more complicated background in the works here, but overall, you know, I think it's okay. And we kind of tend to coddle our younger Canadian footballers in a sense and say, well, you know, every kid needs a chance, but truly you have to already be at a good enough level to really be given that shot, you know?
Yeah. Just to clarify, 21st Club is a centralized scouting service that has provided the Canadian Premier League a list of international players under the age of 23 and says, here's a list of these guys. Here's some video, et cetera. Do with it what you will, sign these guys. JP, I think your take is a little bit different on this. Why don't you go ahead and let us know what you think?
Yeah. Well, first, you know what, Jeff, I know your daughter's going through teething, but, you know, hearing her in the background is nostalgia for me because a lot of the foot soldiers sound like that. At Spruce Meadows. So I feel like I'm walking onto the pitch right now at Spruce Meadows. So thank you. Lovely. But, well, you know, it's an interesting one. And so there's some real value, you know, when you have a, you know, when you, so being positive about it, you know, obviously at FC Edmonton, I never really had a large budget, you know, to go out and scout players. I never had the ability to go to countries and look at players and see them in person and do that. So I relied a lot on video. And video can be deceiving, you know, of course, and then you try to have conversations, but a lot of it still came from video. What the 21st Club provides then is they provide some validation through statistics and analysis and data. So there, you know, there's a plus side to that. Now, you know, where it's for, or if, I mean, I've heard it's for as well. And, but that's what I've heard from, you know, being released from other coaches. And, you know, because one thing I won't do, you know, is I'm not going to say things publicly that I know about the league that are not public knowledge. It's not my place to do that. And out of respect for the league and the owners of the league and my, you know, the peers of mine who are managing, I can't do that. But it's been put out there that that's the number. So if that's the case, you know, so I compare this now, you know, the signing of these young internationals at a certain age. I compare that to the signing of Valor just the other day, Nestor Monge. Now, this is a 30-year-old player with a fantastic background in the game, playing at a very, very good level. I've watched a video on him. He's a player. He's this holding midfield player, very silky, very smooth. I mean, I can't wait to see him and Kevin link up together, quite honestly. That's going to be a fun partnership. But he's going to bring more than just football. He's going to bring his 30 years of international experience. He played against the States, I believe, in 2019, you know, as an international game. So we're talking a big player. And I like that aspect of what the internationals can bring. You know, people know my, obviously with the first year roster I had, you know, we had some senior players for that purpose. Not everything works out. Not every player works out, you know, certainly. But there's a benefit to a senior international because they do bring... They do bring a different experience and a different thought on the game. And I think there's some education there for young Canadian players. A young 21 year old international is not bringing experience to a 20 year old Canadian. They're not. I mean, they're here because they're here for a reason as well. They also are coming here for an experience to get better, to see if they can get back home. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I look at it that way. So I'm not against the program. Maybe I'm more for fewer numbers to be signed than if four is the number, two for me is a better number. Because the other difficulty then is, you know, if you're mandated to sign a certain number of players that are not Canadian, is that going to impact Canadians that you can sign? Do teams lose a Bruno Zebe, which I think Tommy alluded to it, I believe in one of his public comments. I think he alluded to the fact that because of the international rule, he's had to let go Bruno. And, you know, I don't mind saying that Bruno and Ajay were casualties of mine because of that same rule in at the end of 2019. So there's some pluses to it. I like the league's use of data. They've got a really great brain in Oliver Gage working at the league office, who is a real expert in this field. So he'll bring a lot to this. I just like to see it managed, you know, perhaps in a different way, as far as requirements on numbers, if that number is true, what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about forcing teams to sign youth internationals. I see, like you said, I see some value. Some competition is not a bad thing for some young Canadian kids, but I like when you use your international slots to bring in maybe that X factor, someone with leadership, like you mentioned with what Valor has done. We've lost Jeff He mentioned that his daughter's going through a bit of a teething spell right now, so she's in some pain, poor little girl, but hopefully we get Sally back here soon. We've talked a little bit too about some of those interleague moves, JP. I think in a salary cap world, there's going to be those difficult decisions. You have to let go of certain players. It's just the reality. You see it in every sport, and players will follow money. They'll go to where the money is. You see it in especially the Northern North American leagues, obviously, where they do have salary caps and that kind of thing. Is this what we're going to see a lot of, some of these big interleague moves in off seasons to come?
I do. I think this will become quite normal for over the next couple of years. And we're in a situation where, you know, the cap is the cap. You know, it can be a tight cap, certainly, when you factor in things like housing and agent fees and things like that. So it can be a difficult cap to work under. With that, you're going to have these Canadian players out of, you know, some of the older ones, some of the 24, 25, 26 year olds, maybe some have the university degree already. Maybe that was interesting.
Sally's trying to reconnect. If you're listening to the audio only, Sally's trying to reconnect and it made a weird sound. So go on, JP.
So
my daughter says hello.
Oh,
there you go. For me, you know, with those older players at those mid 20s, I mean, their career's not going to last forever. And you're in a league with a tight salary cap. The problem is, though, these Canadians that you maybe sign at $1 value in year one, now they're going into season three. They're going to expect a raise each year, especially if they've been a starter each year. Their performances are good. They're talked about as one of the using Zator as an example. I don't know what the offers are. I don't know dollar values. It's none of my business. But what I can say, though, if I'm Dominic Zator, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I've started almost every game for two straight years. I've been consistently talked about as one of the best defenders in this league by many, many people. I deserve a raise. And if that raise isn't there because the salary cap won't allow it, because of, you know, you still have a full roster to build and there's only so much money to go around and you can't offer that. But another team, maybe going through a bit of a rebuild, signing younger players, might have more cap space, they can't offer it. And, you know, we talk about loyalty, we talk about all these different things, but at the end of the day, you know, teams will get rid of player in a second if they think they can pick up a better player for that position. You've seen it in every single sport. I'm not even talking CPL. Happens in every single sport. So when we talk loyalty, well, knowing that a team would replace that player if they could find a better one at the same price, maybe a player is going to look to leave if they can find another situation at a bigger salary. So I think it's just, it's going to go with just to say the business, you know, at the moment in the CPL, and I think we'll start seeing more of this.
We know there's a cap. It exists. We don't know what the exact number is, of course. But I would imagine just with the financial difficulties caused to everyone through this pandemic and just growth of the league, it obviously hasn't changed. So those guys who are looking at raises in year three are probably not going to get them simply because, well, there's just no more money. Unless, again, if you drop a Zator and maybe you give a couple other guys a little bit of extra cash, go younger to try to fill that spot, I think is what we're going to see. So, okay, guys, I think that wraps it up here for this week. Going to talk a bit about academies, but I think we need a little bit more time to talk about that. We might get a little rambly if we start. So why don't we just wrap things up here? Sally, you have M now. She's a little bit calmer. Why don't you tell us where you can find you online?
Yeah, for sure. So you can find me on Twitter at Jeff D. Salisbury. And you can also find me in the various CPL fan groups on Facebook and on the Voyageurs Facebook and even on the Voyageurs forum very occasionally at this point. Emma is showing everybody that she's already able to do the Polak bounce. So she'll be good to go in the V section in a couple of years here.
Love it. JP?
Yeah. Emma, thank you for reminding me of Spruce Meadows and the Foot Soldiers. I appreciate it. It's a nostalgic for me. I am Jeff_Paulus, just on Twitter. Still not cool enough for Instagram.
So what we're going to do, I think, is throughout the course of this vodcast, we're just going to hate on every team. So we've checked Forge. We've now checked Cavalry and their supporters off. So we'll make our way through the list and eventually everyone will hate us, which I think.
I got Gary to finally tweet back at me after some inflammatory tweets I sent his way. So that made my day.
Oh, good stuff. And I am at Grayson Knutson on Twitter. And you can find the vodcast at The Cynical Chow 1 on Twitter. And just search it up on YouTube as well, The Cynical Challenge. And we're on all of your favorite podcatchers as well, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, the whole nine yards. Fellas, always a pleasure to chat with you. Let's do it again real soon.
Sounds good.
Have a great night, everyone.